Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the conversation, folks. I am your host, Kyle, and this is the weekly conversation. This week on the conversation is going to continue from the abbreviated one from last week. We're going to go into the Republican debate. I'm going to talk a little bit about the State of the Union, which Obama's made a joke of. Oh, I'm going to get into Bill Clinton and all these this woman coming out and asking other women to come out about the sexual misconduct and things he did that's inappropriate. Is there a lot of liberals are saying, oh, it's perfect timing, you know, why didn't it come out 5 years ago? Also, I want to get into a lot about the debate because there's some other things I'm going to talk about, so let's get started. Okay, folks, Revelation chapter 3 says, behold, we serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut. He shuts doors that no one can open. Behold, I have placed for you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, but you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. Think about that tonight. And welcome to the program, folks. I just want to quick get into something. I have a friend of mine that I talk to because, see, I'm a classically French-trained chef that went to the New England Culinary Institute, and I always joke that I'm Captain Common Sense because that's how they teach you. They teach you, okay, that knob is not on and off. You know, it has high, medium, low. If it's too hot, turn it down. You have one chef that's like, fat is, and if you don't yell flavor, he's getting in your face, why are you saying that? And then the next chef says, okay, here's corn oil, drink it up. And they teach you, you know, and I have a muscle doctor that teaches me like that in a way, like, okay, your body's a gas station. It ain't working. He can go through all the medical gibber jabber, you know, and I've been having some issues, and I asked one of my friends what's going on. He goes, basically, what you got going on here is you got a 4-inch hole, and you're trying to put 5-inch object through that 4-inch hole, and you're able to get it through, but you're smashing it and this and that, and you know, and after talking to some people on tech support and some different things, I've got to find better internet because I use a crap load of bandwidth because I'm basically all, because I'm anyone can listen throughout the whole U.S. and stuff. So in the process of doing that, you know, if I get a better internet, I'll have better connection and better feed and stuff. And so I want to thank you all for bearing with me as I figure this out because I'm at a different place from where I used to be, so, and enough of that said. I'm going to move on to the joke of the union address thanks to Barack Obama. I mean, it is. I mean, there is no journalism anymore. What do you think Rush Limbaugh and people like Glenn Beck will not go to the correspondence dinner? You know, if you have enough money and you pay enough, you can probably sit right next to Obama if you want to. It's not about, there's no journalism anymore, folks. And it's not funny. The joke is, I mean, that's what's wrong with this. You know, okay, if I have a viewpoint that says, okay, I don't believe in raising the minimum wage and here's why. Why do you have to take someone and interview them for 6 hours or 5 hours and edit it in a way to make your point make sense, to make him look like raising the minimum wage is wrong? Because I've seen things where I'm like, okay, I watched that Glenn Beck episode, but the way they showed it on MSNBC puts him in a light like he's a cuckoo bird. But if you watch the episode, watch Glenn Beck, you'll say, wait a minute, wrong. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get, you know, because we don't have a 5% unemployment. The deficit isn't cut in half, folks. I wish. Because I told him, Romans cut the deficit in half with a Bush deal. I'm like, so you're telling me that the deficit was like 30-some trillion? Because we're at almost 19 trillion now. Because were we at like 36 trillion? Because if he cut the deficit in half, that's where he would have to have had the deficit to get down to the 18 trillion we are now. Whatever. Deficit, the debt clock website, that's probably paid for by Fox News. It's, you know, we're the problem. You know, the liberals are now trying to blame the GOP because they voted down this Clean Water Act for the lead problem and all the poisoning that happened in Michigan. Why can't somebody, last I heard, Michigan's very, 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 very Democratic state. They have a lot of...
a Republican governor.
Finally.
It's not that much anymore.
But it was for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue is not going to happen overnight, sorry. You know, but I want to have people take responsibility. If it is a Republican problem, then... they should take responsibility, just like Democrats need to take responsibility. But I guess I look at it like the Hurricane Katrina and stuff, like when they had the big flooding and stuff in New Orleans. They didn't vote to do this to stuff to take whatever that thing is,
the levee,
and fix it up. Even if they would have passed that, it's still...
the biggest problem is the passing the buck problem.
Yeah, no one's taking responsibility. They're not fixing this problem. They're just blaming someone else. And even if they passed that thing to fix the levee, it wouldn't have, so what? They didn't, it would have made a lick of difference whether they passed it or not, you know. If the Republicans are actually responsible for this issue, then they need to be held accountable. But no one's going to. Like I've said a million times, the American people are a Boeing 747 headed into the Sears Tower. Take Mitt Romney, John McCain, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Al Gore, it doesn't matter. Which one of those five are going to kick us out of autopilot and steer us clear from slamming into the Sears Tower? None of them. They're all going to have us slamming into the Sears Tower. The Republicans, like my wife said last night, and I kind of have to agree, they'll be slow enough that we might be able to jump out of the plane. I like Barack Obama as president for one reason, because I think he's gotten people to wake up to how corrupt the government is and how, for at least the people that pay attention to that thing. I mean, there's still a lot of people that Hillary Clinton could say the world is flat, and really? Right on, man. I think if the Republicans wouldn't have been screwing around, we might have a round planet by now. But, you know, since the GOP is not wanting to pass all these bills, you know, the planet's going to stay flat, you know. I mean, it's sad that you have people like that will, they'll go around and they'll sign a petition basically eliminating every freedom they have. And it's just, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary when you have people that, I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? What's John McCain? Third. You know, and then these people that, like, well, name the country that was founded on slavery and the genocide of the people that were already here. And it's like, I told one of my friends, and I said this blunt, and I said, I'm saying this because I'm your friend. If you really think you have it that bad in this country, you need to go somewhere else. Because first of all, I'm not sitting there going and saying, you know what, my ancestors were Pennsylvania coal miners, and, you know, I should be owed all this stuff because of what they went through. That's what blacks do. Oh, come on, you know, see.
Let my grandpa hear me say that. He's kidding me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have no idea. Okay, what did Rosa Parks do? She refused to give up her seat. She didn't go out and set the bus on fire. No, She stood up for her rights. If you're the Black Lives Movement and you say, hey, I feel this was an injustice, we want to stand here and we want to protest, and you do it peacefully and you don't damage stuff, I would have much more respect for you people. If you said, well, you know, but when you have thousands and thousands of blacks die every day from killings of another black and you don't care about them, it's only the two or three or four or five or six or seven white people that kill the black person in self-defense because they're a police officer, you know, because I got someone really pissed off because I'm like, well, what about the 404 blacks that were killed in Chicago by other blacks? Do they not matter? No, they don't matter.
And slavery was started by black people, so another black people.
Yep.
White people.
Yep, there were, yeah, like my wife said, and it's true, look it up, there were tribes in Africa that were sitting there and shooting blow darts, knocking out other tribe people, and some of them... Nope. And what's also not in the history books is it was a black man that was giving the British false information to help us win the Revolutionary War. But then again, you have a lady that's in charge of the books in support of Common Core that said she doesn't give a bleep about the kids. It's all about the money. But, you know, when you have parents and teachers that have come out that said, you know, we have a month-long period where we have to have our kids pretend they're in a Sharia law country, but they're not like, okay, well, where's the month where they have to pretend they're in Jerusalem and live like biblical times and follow biblical principles and have them, okay, take your lunch money and tithe some of it. No, they can't, that's wrong. But you have to learn about the five or seven pillars of the Muslim faith, and that's acceptable. There's no one saying that's wrong, but then, you know, you can't talk about Christianity in school, but you can learn about Muslim faith. And if you've been off, if you haven't been, because a lot of people don't know this, but they spent like $1 billion starting up Al Jazeera America, and it's actually come April or whatever, like in the spring, it's going to shut down. And there's been rumors that the Blaze is going to buy it, and Glenn Beck wouldn't spend five pennies. He'll take it off their hands if they want to pay him, but he's not going to spend a dime giving back to those, you know, the people that hate gays and want to kill women and... So what do you know? I mean, that's just... Okay, we're going to move on. You know, I love what, like as we finish up this little bit on the State of the Union address, I love what, like, Ted Cruz commented, and the GOP response is just incredible.
Yeah.
Folks, it's not going to be a... This is how I look at it. A donkey or an elephant's not going to save this country. A lamb is going to save this country. And my Christian friends know what I'm talking about. Because we have the same father, just a different mother. You know, and that's, you know, how can you sit, I guess people are so frustrated, okay, but there's actually people that believe the nonsense, that we have a deficit. And then I had a guy that actually had the nerve to say, well, when we find the cure for cancer, you know, you're going to be eating your words. I'm like, okay. So Obama said that he's going to try, they have a cure for cancer. Cannabis and CBD oil and THC and CBN and CBD.
They won't let nobody use it.
They won't let anyone use it. It's been proven. For some reason, they don't know why it is, but in like 90% of the people, it tells the cancer cells to commit suicide. And when they've put it in a test tube, it kills virtually all cancer cells. And when they've put it in rats that have cancer, 35% of the rats are completely cancer-free. And the other ones that aren't completely cancer-free, it's only killing the cancer cells, not their body. Because chemo kills everything. That's why your hair falls out. That's why you're sick. That's why you're nauseous. Kills everything. Yeah, living cells. You know, it's sort of like pasteurization. There's no such thing as good pasteurization. Pasteurization kills everything, good and bad. You can't have it both ways. You can't, like, there's no no one's invented pasteurization where it only kills the bad stuff. So, like, well, we're going to leave everything living that's good in this milk. Yeah, but it's basically for people that Captain Common Sense had to step in and explain it for. But anywho, you know, that's where we're at. They have a cure, and it works. Not 100%. Nothing's 100%. But it's, and because, like, one person goes, because, like if you smoke cannabis or use CBD oil and stuff and weed, it can actually help with bone growth. And a guy goes, yeah, I bet you if you break your leg, you're just going to sit there and grab a joint and just light up. I'm like, no, I would, just like if I had cancer, I would use chemotherapy along with cannabis and CBD. Tommy Chong is one of the biggest supporters of cannabis in the world, and he has colorectal cancer, and he is using high-strength CBD and THC suppositories along with chemo. He's using both. I would use everything out there. And that's, you know, Ted Cruz and Joni Ernst were right on, you know. You got to get back to God. You got to get back to honesty and truth. No one trusts the media anymore. Yeah, and there's a reason why. When you live in America and some of these cable networks and satellite networks wouldn't carry The Blaze, but they would carry Al Jazeera America, it just goes to show. And it's just nuts. And now, as I kind of want to move on, there is a woman, and I guess that's, they've been threatened, you know, from certain people, and now they're finally saying, screw it, I'm coming out. You know, you think Monica Lewinsky was Bill Clinton's only one? Wrong. There's many of us, and any of the women that want to come out need to come out. You know, don't be afraid anymore. I've met military people that on their deathbed they said, yes, you know, I was at Area 51. I saw this. I saw things. You know, that we were like, what are they going to do? I'm dying anyways. I'm going to tell what I wanted to say. I've had to keep my mouth shut. And, you know, these women are finally saying, I don't care, I'm coming forward. And a lot of the liberals, oh, yeah, this is, you know, since Hillary Clinton's trying to become president, now when you're being threatened, I think it's, well, now that you see people coming out about Bill Cosby and stuff, and whether that's true or not, we leave that up to the courts to decide. But when they're coming out and having the courage, I think they're starting to say, hey, I'm going to come out and I'm going to say what I have to say. You know, I cooked for Jared numerous times. I would have never thought in a million years he was doing what he was doing. But guess what? You know, he was, and now he's paying the price for it. You know, it's just one of those things that when you look at, we got to let the courts decide. If they're true to the word, if it's honest, you know, I just like, it's why I like European football. Those people are seen as role models. They don't take that, you know, when they come into the stadium, they're on a traveling bus because they don't really have to go that far. And they're out, they come out in uniforms with their team's crest and a tie, and they're professional. And they take that responsibility of, hey, someday a kid might want to be like Cristiano Ronaldo or Wayne Rooney, and they take that responsibility not lightly. Yeah, there are a few people that probably party a little bit hardy, and, you know, but for the most part, most of those footballers, they take their role model very seriously, and, you know, of course, someone like Bill, they don't care. You know, a lot of these politicians, hey, I'm in here, it's like a license to print money. And whether Bill Cosby or Bill Clinton or any did it, you know, whether Jared did it, you know, I leave it up to the courts. You know, like cops, and I've said this a million times, cops says it all the time. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. You know, when did MSNBC become the judge and the jury? When did ABC become the judge and the jury? You know, there are people that are convicted by this liberal media before they even, you know, okay, even if he is guilty, okay, he should hang. But even if he is 100% innocent, this police officer is never going to have a life again because they want him executed because they have an agenda. And the liberal media has pushed this evil white police officer killing this black person, even though it's in self-defense and there's video of him robbing a bank or a grocery store or whatever. And then people that, oh, well, he shot him in the back and da-da-da-da-da. And then like, well, you need to recount your story, man, because there were no wounds in the back. There was no shots to the back, you know. And that was before Forensic came out. And so, you know, it's just so much. That's why it's so many people don't trust the media. That's why, and it's a bad thing. And I'll tell you why it's a bad thing, because people don't watch the news. If I don't trust the news, why am I going to watch it? Oh, it's just politics as usual. It ain't never, whatever. It's never going to, nothing's ever going to change. Don't worry. And that's the problem we're dealing with. Politics is usual. It's never going to change. Don't worry. You know, the media, they're not truthful. Who cares? Well, they're passing laws. Well, okay, well, this gun law isn't doing anything, so we need to do something. Okay? That's great. Then we need to make it even more stronger and even more intense because, well, we passed this law, and someone was shot during this law. And because he was shot because of this, then it's not strong enough. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pass these laws that seem innocent now, but then when they don't work, they're going to say, well, we need to make them stronger. Sort of like a cannabis law. Well, the reason why, you know, we just need to even make harsher penalties and make it harder to get cannabis or harder to get alcohol, harder to get this stuff, and then no one will get it. Okay, if there's a demand for cocaine or heroin or anything, doesn't matter what it is, people are going to get it. People are going to, if there's a demand for, if your daughter really wants a Cabbage Patch Kid, you're going to find a way to get it. And that's what's going to happen. You know, these people sit there, because they're trying to get people to back these bills on purpose. Because then once this passes, if it's not, then they can take one little incident and blow it up to be some huge thing so that they can try to get, well, we need to have more legislation. And that's what's going on. They're taking away your freedom a little bit at a time. I mean, that's why Ron Paul was not at the debate last night. It's all politics. I mean, but when you look at that debate last night, it was just old because it was just Ted Cruz and Trump going back and forth and back and forth and all these other people. So I'm like, oh, hey, we're in this debate too. Hello. But like Glenn Beck said, is the liberal media and Donald Trump going after Cruz to try to get him out of there because he is seen as a threat to their way of life. We're the good old boys and we're politics as usual, and this guy's going to come in and rain on our parade. We can't have that. I mean, because Donald Trump has been liberal and had lots of liberal, and is he going to flip and all of a sudden, guess what? He talks all this stuff conservatively, but then when he gets in, he does a lot of progressive things. We don't know that. I mean, we don't know that. And it was, I mean, I guess my wife said it best, and she's my rock, and she says things that I love. And she's like, I like a little bit of each of the people, but there's things I don't like about this person, it's like I just want to take like one big, like make a person out of the things I like out of all of them. And I like Ben Carson because he's not a politician, and I don't think he'd be politics as usual, but he's used to, okay, I've never done this, I need to get an expert. Okay, we found the clot in the toe, I don't know about feet, let me get an expert to come in and to educate me.
There's not really anything Ben Carson I don't like.
Yeah, yeah. Same, yeah. And I think the liberal media would not want someone like him to get elected for that reason. You know, and that's just one of those things. You know? I mean, Bill Clinton and what he did back in the day, that's huge. Because he is the person that you look up to. But, he was just with every other woman. You know, whatever, who cares? Yes, it does matter. You know, where is integrity in this country anymore? I mean, if you want to have, you can have all the fun you want. There's a seven-letter, two-word phrase for fun. It's called bedroom. Close the door. Okay, folks? But when you're sitting there and, there's evidence that she was screwing everything under the sun. I'm sure they were just some reality experiment. Okay, let's put these two people that don't like each other together and see if we can get them elected as president and first lady. And they did. But that's where it is, folks. It's where it is. You know, I kind of got when Trump and Cruz are kind of going back and forth, and how can you say if Cruz is eligible to be president, really? Well, then, but Obama is. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But what do I know?
I can say that about Cruz. Obama's parents weren't even born in America. Really?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. They're just trying to get him, discredit him, or whatever. I'm going to move on to something that's kind of controversial, and we don't know if it's true. And it could explain why Hillary Clinton came back to the debate stage late. If you don't remember, there was an incident where we kind of joked about the fact that she fell off. She was walking down the steps of the plane and on the steps fell and hit her head and all this. And there's evidence that she may have damaged herself, like, severely. I went to high school with a girl that was playing basketball really, really good. And she was running and ran into the pole that holds the basket up and hit her head. And after that, she was like, da-da-da. Like, really, she was still a great person, but she had to have, like, when she went to classes, there was a person, like a special person that knew how to treat her seizures, knew how to do all this stuff when she was there, you know, and she was there with her 24/7. I mean, she will never be able to drive on her own. You know, anywhere she went, she had the specialist with her and all this. She's a great person. And there's evidence that Hillary Clinton may be going through this, that they have like an earpiece in her, and that's why she's not doing a lot of big campaigning and going out and doing long speeches. And like, you know, they're basically putting in an earpiece telling her what to say. And, you know, and it's not, we're not joking about this. This is not making fun of her. This is something that there's a lot of clout to. There's a guy that said that he's had some communications with some of her medical people, you know, that help her out, and said that this is real, this is not a joke. And
it's sad.
It's sad.
That power hungry. She don't care about her health.
Yeah. It's,
she shouldn't
yeah.
be in that position if she's that unhealthy.
Yeah. And I pray for her if she really is injured. You know, I really do. And it's just something that, you know, makes you wonder, you know, because was that why she was she having issues and she had to wait till she had overcome something and then walked out on the stage so that she, whoops, because that's the only explanation I could have for her being late, you know, so. And it's just, you know, I pray for her. You know, I just hope that if she is seriously hurt, that she's, that, you know, that she shouldn't be running if that's the case. But, you know, a lot of people always said, well, if Hillary Clinton gets in the White House, it's just going to be Bill Clinton being president again. He'd tell her what to do and everything. Because he, you know. But who knows? Who knows? And I want to move on to all these wonderful refugees that are coming over to this country that are perfectly legally vetted. And all they want to do is blow us up and kill us. And, you know, I mean, the Iraq refugees, there were...
If they don't, we have enough problems here.
Yeah, I know. We have enough problems here, but we want to bring in people that they can't even... I mean, the FBI director, said that we can't guarantee that people are going to slip through the cracks, but, well, we got to let them all in. All I can tell you is I've not seen one thing from Obama that would have me... that would have a... mental retarded person believe that he cares about this country in terms of keeping us safe and trying to attack ISIS and get them out of here. Nothing. He, along with Hillary Clinton, lied about Benghazi. That's not debatable. That's a fact. That's not Republican. That's not Democrat. He hasn't done anything to fight ISIS. He can't even call them like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. He can't even call them radical Islamic extremists. There was an Iraq refugee, Omar Finjar Saeed al-Haddad, that wanted to bomb two Houston malls. Oh, but he was vetted. Yeah, just like the people in San Bernardino, they were vetted. But whatever, I mean... there's actually evidence, as I want to quick move on before I go back to the vetting and all this, that Obama gave Iraq information on where the U.S. prisoners, the U.S. Coast Guard people were, and the military people were that got kidnapped. You know, he didn't mention that in the debate that, you know, about Ronald Reagan, if that was the debate. Okay, I just want to let you know, folks, at 6 o'clock this morning, we found out that Iran has captured 10 Americans, and we have had 75 planes go over there and bomb the hell out of them.
Exactly.
Obama didn't even mention it. But who cares? I guess they don't matter. Because it doesn't fit his political agenda. You know?
To Mexico.
Yeah. You know? See, his State of the Union address has to be all candy canes and lollipops. No. Well, Glenn Beck, he's a doomsdayer. No. He's just calling it like he sees it, good or bad. You know, we can't vet these things. We can't vet these people and make sure that they're 100% perfect and not going to kill anybody. But we still have to let them in.
The same countries would not let us in.
Yeah. And these and a lot of these people, seriously, are coming from countries that if we went there, we'd be beheaded for trespassing and treason and all this stuff. You know, that's where we're at. You know, it's just, I don't get it. I just don't know what, because they're not done. They know what they're doing. Obama's not stupid. It's not like, oh, he wasn't sitting there after the debate going, dang, I forgot to mention about those 10 Iraqi people. You kidding me? He has a teleprompter. That thing's so scripted. You kidding me? It's just, I don't know what's, oh, you know, I remember the one of my favorite movies, The Breakfast Club, and he goes, you know, where the principal and the janitor are talking, he goes, the kids haven't changed, you have. Because so many people, oh, America hasn't changed. Oh, yeah, it has. And not just from the fact that they used to have an aisle where the tobacco was. Now you have to go behind the counter and get it. That's not the case. You know, it's changed in everything, and they're taking little bits of freedom. And what they're doing is they're passing some insignificant law that they hope they can find one thing to support that it doesn't work so that they can take and, oh, we need to make this law stronger. And that's where this country is going. We need to take care of our own people. Our own. I mean, oh, we got to bring in all these refugees that we can't vet. We have no idea what their allegiance is. I mean, half the people we have here now, well, excuse me, you're going to have to take off that shirt because that's an American flag and you might offend someone. Man, if I was a parent and they told my son that, I'd be like, excuse me? He will not take it. Okay, well, if that's the case, then first thing I'd do is I'd go outside and take down the American flag. Well, if that American flag shirt's going to offend somebody, then we're taking down the American flag. And also, if you can give me if they called the police and say, well, can you go in there and can I get the number of I want the address of the person that's going to be offended by the American flag shirt my son's wearing because I want to help him pack. You know, I'm not going to go to another country and have them live under my rules. I'm going to, okay, how do they live what is the customs in England? What's the customs in France? How do they live? I'm not going to sit, you know, if they have a holiday like a Thanksgiving type holiday that we don't celebrate, okay, what do you do on that day? How do you observe it? You know, I'm not going to sit there, well, this is bull crap because, you know, that. Okay, I know you guys have the siesta thing, but this, I need, you know, I can't, you know, people getting hairs up their butt because of all the stuff that goes on because, well, I'm going to be offended because someone's going to be offended by an American flag t-shirt. They shouldn't be in this country. If you're offended by, you know, we have the Second Amendment for a reason. If you lose the Second Amendment, you have no way to defend any right you have or any freedom you do have. Just ask all those people in North Korea how they're doing. Because I already see people with Bernie Sanders for president stickers. Okay, you know, see, we're a democracy in this country. We're not a socialist nation.
Bill Rowley said he's going back to, he's going to Ireland if Sanders gets it.
Sure. Yep. Okay. We might be having to find an apartment near Old Trafford. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, at least, I mean, I don't want to be in this. I'm not socialist. I want to have a shot. I don't want to sit there and feel like, okay, folks, you know, I don't want to have my wealth redistributed. I don't want to have, there was a time in this country where you got rewarded for hard work. Not, well, we're going to make sure that whether you work at McDonald's or you work as a doctor, you're all going to get the same. Well, then why would anyone want to be a doctor? I'd find the easiest dang job I could and hey, I'm going to get the same no matter what. Because pretty soon you run out of the rich people's money. You know, all these, I think it's great that all these people want to have free education and free all this, free everything. But when you can't even talk and have anything to back it up, I mean, it's like you're something like that girl. Like, she, you know, I don't care. if that's great if you support free college and free all this stuff, but imagine you're a court case. If you can't give me any documentation to prove to back up your case, I'm sorry, but you're not. How are you going to win the argument? Okay. This is a court case, hypothetically. If you're a defense attorney and your client's accused of murder, if you ain't got no proof to discredit what the prosecution has, he's going to hang. If you can't say, this is why my client's innocent and this is the evidence I have, then they're going to sit there, here's our evidence, we got surveillance footage, we got this, you're going to hang. When you have people that want all this free everything, like free food, free college, free this, free that, but when you ask them, where are you going to pay for it? How are you going to do this? Where's the money coming from? And they can't tell you. Okay, well, if you take 100%, if you take the 100% tax, and you tax the top 1%, 100% taxes, take 100% of the taxes, you would fund like Medicare and Medicaid for like 2 or 3 years max. And now what are you going to do? And that's because these people that want all this stuff, they don't have a freaking clue. Excuse my French, but like the Black Lives Matter, they don't care about lives because all they care about is an agenda. Because if they really cared about lives, then all lives would matter. Every black life would matter. Every white life would matter. It wouldn't matter. They would sit there and stand in solidarity with white people that were mourning the death of a white person. But, that's how it is. That's where this world's coming to. It's all about an agenda. It's all about... It is. It's sad. It's really sad. And I just don't know where my country's gone to. I'm one of those American Tea Party terrorists that wants this country back. Because that's what we're called,
And proud of it.
Yeah, I am. I'm proud of it. And I wanted to read something that I got, and I luckily have some compassionate people I work with. Oh, I gotta tell you this. This is where this country is going. Somebody called and is like at a place that I know of. My friend was telling me this, and. Well, there's a party going on tonight, and I really don't want to miss it. And I didn't know if I should either call in to work or, like, come in and leave work early.
Really?
And he's telling me this. His buddy told him this. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. He called and talked to the boss. I'm like, okay. That's where this country is, Well, I worked a 9-hour shift, and I want to see if I can have tomorrow off because I worked really hard. Talk to my wife about working really hard, or my dad. This generation doesn't know how good they have it. And I just had to throw that in there because that's, these young kids just think money grows on trees. But there was a thing... as you all know, I was diagnosed with celiac, and I get things all the time. I'm doing all kinds of research. I'm very proactive, and this lady wrote this thing. It was the 10 things I wish I knew about celiac disease. Living with it, and it's from The Mighty. It's themighty.com. Check it out. It's a really cool thing. And there's over 300 known symptoms of celiac disease, and that's the hardest thing is there's like almost. They believe like 2 to 3 million people that may have it that don't even realize it that are damaging their bodies every day. And 1 in 100 people are affected worldwide. And the reason why there's 300 known symptoms is, okay, you can have celiac disease and not really have any stomach issues. You may be having, you know, to where you're like a sour stomach. And, you know, fatigue is a huge issue, and you can have, like, cognitive issues, and you can have blurry vision and all this stuff. And these are the 10 things, and they get all the credit for this, and this is just incredible. A lot of people think it's their place to comment and ask presumptive questions. It isn't. It is like celiac, or is it like a fad thing? Are you just trying to lose weight? That's such a stupid fad. Eating gluten is not a choice for me. And while you may think you're being funny, it's really none of your business why I have to do this. Number two, no, I can't just eat a little. It'll end really poorly. Number three, yes, cross-contamination really will make me sick. Number four, I actually hate talking about it, especially with wait staff, but I have to or else I'll get sick. You know, I'm one of those people. I want to stop here for a second because I hate being picky, except for being a vegetarian. I don't like to go, well, I just like to give me this and give me this. Does it have meat in it? No. Okay, great. I hate to sit there now and, okay, well, do you guys use wheat? And is there any wheat cooked in the fire? I have to ask all these questions and be a nag, which I'm not that type of person. And number five, if I do somehow get gluten, I can't put thoughts together. I have no appetite. I feel queasy all the time. My muscles feel weak, and my brain and my body, all it wants to do is just sleep. But not everyone's symptoms, you know, but not everyone's symptoms are the same, and they vary. And you may have no idea how you got gluten, or, you know, I may not have a symptom. She may throw up. And that's what's going on, you know. Number six, when I'm glutened, it can take months for me to recover. I have to change my diet, sleeping habits, and active lifestyle to try to get back to normal as fast as possible. Number seven, jokes and offhand comments put me on the defensive and make me feel like I have to justify this really hard part of life to you. Number eight, celiac can ultimately cause malnutrition, which can ultimately cause death, so it's not a funny thing to joke about. Basically, number nine, celiac is actually a serious autoimmune disorder, and I want people to know that. And number 10, it's one part of my life, but it doesn't define me, and I'm so much more than the disease, and that's what I hope people get. And like on the program, yeah, it's a lot about politics, but I do a lot about health. And it's, you know, it's something that people need to understand. And I'm actually going to look into, and I'm going to probably do that tomorrow to see why they don't, if it's a cost issue or it's not effective or whatever, why they don't give people like me an IV with nutrients maybe once a year to ensure that we're not malnutritioned or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure they've got, like, vitamins that you can dissolve on your tongue to get stuff. Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, but you need gluten to hold them together.
You mean gelatin? Not gluten.
Yeah.
But you can use agar-agar. Who knows? I'm sure they can. But anywho, it's just one of those things that, because, you know, as I look into it, and as I read into it, you know, celiac disease is different than someone that just has a wheat allergy or wheat intolerance. Two totally different things. And it's just one of those things that I've gotten stuff like this. And, you know, because I'm not really picky, except for the fact that I don't eat meat. I'm not that picky when it comes to food. And having to ask a million questions about something or having to read it, okay, well, sir, it does have natural ingredients in it natural flavorings, and we can't guarantee that there's no barley malt. Well, technically, I shouldn't touch it, because if there's barley malt in there, and it's just something that...
You're not as picky as me, that's for
sure. No, but got about 8 minutes left in the program, folks, and I just wanted to throw that little medical thing in there, and I was I also posted an article on my Facebook page, if any of you are friends with me, about like how they're showing medical cannabis is really, really good, and people are having over 100% lung capacity or very good lung capacity who smoke weed. And the guy commented, he goes, well, I have stage 4 lung cancer, and it's because of all the weed I smoked. And I'm like, I find that hard to believe, but I'm not going to say he's a liar either. So it just, I'm like, because I've known people that I've met that online that, you know, I had stage 4 lung cancer, and I said, what the heck, I'm going to die anyways. I'm at the beach. Let's light up. I've never done it before. Let me try it. And now they're cancer-free. So, who knows? But, you know, like in Amsterdam where they mix tobacco and weed and you smoke it in a cafe bar, they have virtually no issues or the issues with lung-related incidences and heart disease and stuff is dramatically reduced. You know, so, who knows? Now, as we move on to some football news. What a match at St. James's Park between good old Manchester United and Newcastle United. What a great game. 3-0. 3-3. I mean, it could have been 5-2. It could have been 5-5. I mean, it was just incredible. And to see actually Louis van Gaal upbeat. I mean, I don't know if he's taking hints from fans. He may not. He's never really been that energetic, but I guess that's what people are used to. They're used to seeing Sir Alex Ferguson get up and be getting on the pitch and cheering. And, you know, he's Louis van Gaal is definitely not a Bob Knight. He's not.
I like Louis van Gaal.
I don't have a problem with him. You know, it's nice to see us scoring again. Now, when we take on Liverpool, we'll have to see how it goes. But, you know, you need to have happiness. And I don't see a lot of energy on the field. Like, yes, you know, I guess Sir Alex Ferguson was always one of those people, yeah, we're up 4-0. What are we doing wrong, you know? What can we fix? So we don't get complacent. You don't sit there and you go, okay, we're up 4-0, and we lost 5-4. You know, he always wanted to, you know, and there's got to be some sort of love there. Some, you know, like, sometimes I just want to take those players, like, can we put a cattle prod and get them, like, you know, get them energized. Get them, like, let's go, let's do this. Because sometimes I feel like we're, like, I don't see the energy or the love that they should be having, you know. I mean, granted, we're in sixth place. You know, Arsenal's first. We have 34, and they have 43, you know. But I think we would have to place really, really high. I think they'll have to turn around if they're going to keep them. I don't know why they would get rid of him, you know, because from what I'm understanding is in, like, a year anyways, he wants to give it up to be with his family more and spend more time with his family, you know, because he's not really, I mean, how it's hard to be a top-tier manager and be at with your family a lot, you know. I mean, like, if you look at a lot of those Michelin 3-star chefs, if they're married, it's really hard to be married to someone like that when you're going in at 6 and working till midnight. I mean, that's no way to leave your wife, you know, at home. You know? I mean, yeah. But it's, you know, I look at the team and I see them moving forward, because I've not really wanted to get rid of believe it all. If they did, it's the board's decision, you know. But we're not Alex Ferguson anymore. He's not there. He's on the board and stuff, but he's not the manager. He's going to do things differently. He's going to be different. We got to accept that. And go from there and move on. And, you know, and I think the fans are so used to, okay, well, we're going to win guaranteed. It's not if we win, but by how much. And now it's like, now we might win, but we might not. And we're like, a lot of the other teams have been for years, and we don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, and some people are, that's freaking shite, you know. But it's like, that's life. Let's move on. It's exciting. Because now you don't know what's going to happen. It's not like, okay, we're going to win guaranteed. Just, you know. And that's something that I think is something that the people aren't used to. And now that they're deep, now they're stuck with this, you know. But I do think, you know, when Louis Van Gaal leaves, I think Ryan Giggs should get a shot. Him or Gary Neville, one of the two. You know, maybe one of them is like an assistant and one runs the team, you know. Because they deserve it, you know. They've been there forever and blood, sweat, and tears is in that team. And, you know. So I got about a little over 2 minutes left. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. It's been a wonderful program. It's just, I guess I, you know, like I told someone, I said, you know, I do this program because I pay for everything, you know. When I look at new internet, I pay for it. Whatever I do on this program, I look it up, I research it. It's what I believe. It's not necessarily, you know, yeah, you can call it an opinion, and this is what I believe. If you want to dispute and say, hey, well, this is what you said, and, you know, like Whoopi Goldberg has this big opinion, but usually she gets shut up. So, it just got about 90 seconds left, and, you know, and I want to educate people. So, okay, if you want to vote for Bernie Sanders, I hope you're willing to help him give Syrian refugees jobs so that they'll stop the terrorism. Help him, you know, help build wind turbines so that we can stop global warming and keep terrorism from happening. Because, you know, if we give them jobs and stop global warming, you know, the terrorism is fixed. Simple. You know, I don't care if you want to vote for Hillary, just know what she stands for. And that's what I try to educate people into. This is how I see it. This is what I see. This is how I feel. Take it or leave it. You don't have to support me. You don't have to agree with me. I have super progressive friends that in the end are like, well, we both want to get rid of ISIS. We just have different ideas on how to get the process done.
One works, one won't.
Yeah, one works, one won't. One is bombing the hell out of them. One is, what we're going to do here, we're going to give them jobs. Okay, folks, that's about enough for the program. You know, remember, the more job applications you can print off and hand to certain refugees, the sooner terrorism will end. Good night. God bless you. Until next week, goodbye.